Welcome to the Prospect Pod, powered by the Weekly Streamer. You can follow the Weekly Streamer on Instagram and Twitter at Weekly Streamer. And here's your host, the What is going on, streamers? This is Ryan Antkowiak, host of the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast. However, I am dropping in on our Prospect Pod today, co-hosting with my boy the Hawk for our Atlanta Braves podcast. We are so excited to have a guest with us today, Mr. Chris Clegg from Fantrax Toolshed. He will be joining us on today's show, and we are really excited to dig into the podcast, the Braves podcast, I should say. A little bit of housekeeping on the front end. If you haven't gotten a chance, by all means, please check out our new Patreon page where you can find exclusive write-ups, rankings, and of course, this Atlanta Braves podcast and system breakdown that we are about to go over with you today. You can also find the Weekly Streamer on YouTube where we have all kinds of live look-ins from this past minor league season. And when you are on Patreon and you are following us, checking that list, you can actually find those live looks right on there as well. So, Hawk, this is your show, man. I'm so excited to be on with you. How are you doing today, my friend?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. You know, any day I can talk about baseball is fantastic. And we recently, actually last night, ended up doing a live interview with Cleveland Guardians starting pitcher Josh Wolf. So that was exciting. But it was 100% worth it. And a little last thing, shout out to Philip McDermott. Welcome to the Patreon, sir. Ed Fingerhut as well. We are so thankful for your support in growing the Weekly Streamer.
Awesome, man. And I got to ask you, when is the last time you went an entire day without talking about baseball? Never.
I don't know. Between doing these write-ups and trying to get interviews, talking, whatever, you know, I guess never.
Exactly. No, that's great. You can follow the Hawk at Must Be the Hawk on Twitter. And I should have mentioned, when you are checking us out on Patreon, all you gotta do is search Weekly Streamer and we should come right up. As mentioned, we also have a guest today. We are so excited to have Chris Clegg from Fantrax on with us. Chris is the co-host of the Fantrax Toolshed and also a big writer over there at Fantrax. Chris, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. I want to thank you both for having me on. It's going to be a good time. We're talking about my favorite team, the world champion Atlanta Braves. So that's super exciting. And we get to talk prospects in baseball. So as you said, there's not much better, you know, sitting here midday on a Monday and chatting about baseball. So I am really looking forward to this. And thank you both again for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Great to have you on. It's also great to have someone jump on that's an actual fan of the team, too. I mean, obviously, we got to put our biases aside when we're doing these write-ups. But I guess staying with you, Chris, the Braves won the World Series, man. Who the heck saw that coming? How did that come together? You must be thrilled.
Yeah, it was unreal, Ron. And, you know, I don't think I could have expected, especially after Acuna went down. But they made some pretty quiet moves at the deadline that ended up paying off big time. You know, they didn't give up anybody from the farm that was worth note, in my opinion, other than Bryce Ball, who was never high on. And it really panned out. They got hot at the right time. And, you know, it was so nerve-wracking. And even the NLCS, I was like, this is just a repeat of last year with the Dodgers up 3-1. I was so afraid. And somehow they pulled it out. I got to go to game 3 of the World Series. That was unreal.
Oh, no.
Yes, it was absolutely amazing. But yeah, it's just something that I'll always remember. And for me, it was like a once in a lifetime thing. I was like, you know, it had been 22 years since they had been to the World Series. I was 1 year old when they won in 95. So it was like, you know, who knows when this could happen again. So I was like, I'm going to go. I had to do it and end up getting tickets to go Friday. It was for game 3. It was super exciting. So
that's amazing.
Still riding the high of it a little bit, but it's been a fun ride. Just got to re-sign Freddie now or I'll be really, really upset.
Yeah, fun ride is one way to put it. I mean, I'm with you, man. When they lost Acuna, I figured they were packing it in, looking at next year. But they were really, really active at the deadline. They brought in some key pieces. I was, because I'm a Cubs fan, So to see Soler get a chance over there and Peterson, and, you know, of course, it's pretty easy to cheer against the Astros. So I was a Braves fan. The week.
Right.
Hawk, yeah, how about you, man? Any? Go good.
Oh, I said a lot of people, I think, came together to cheer against the Astros. So that made it even more fun.
Yeah, the asterisk, if you will. That's right. Hawk, what was your take on the World Series, man?
Yeah. Oh man, I was so excited. I mean, I am a Mets fan, but doing fantasy, and Chris, I'm sure that you could probably agree with this, with how deep we go into fantasy, you become a fan of baseball and not necessarily just the team. So putting my fandom of Mets aside, I was really, really happy for the Braves. And Dave Dutton puts it best as the Houston Asterix, so he refuses to say Astros. He's a big Dodgers fan, Dodger Dave. So he's, one of our favorite here. But I really enjoyed being able to see the run that they had in the postseason. And you're right, Chris. I mean, the acquisitions that they had at the trade deadline, although like not super flashy, I mean, you can't beat what Eddie Rosario was able to do. Soler, all those guys just put together just a fantastic team effort, and good for Freddie Freeman, man. I mean, what a stand up guy, arguably one of the quietest in terms of like that superstar hype. I mean, obviously he's a superstar. We all know that, but just a class act.
No doubt, man. It was fun to see. I'm with you. And, in my head, it didn't feel like it was that long ago that they were such a dominant team. But, once you break it down, it time flies. The Braves haven't been there. All right, well, enough about the major league team. Now we're going to dig into the minor league team. And the Braves have had a pretty solid system. They've kind of become a team that's known to produce good pitching, among other things. So we're going to dig right into the Hawks list. And for those listeners who maybe this is the first time tuning into one of our prospect breakdowns, so every week we will be releasing a new team's breakdown where our writer, and in this case it's the Hawk, he whittles down their entire org system into the top 30, which you can find completely on our Patreon page. And then on today's podcast, we're going to walk through number 1 through 10. Again, the rest of the write-up can be found on Patreon. But Hawk, let's start with you, man. You are the curator of this list. Your number 1 prospect in the Braves system, Mr. Michael Harris. He's an outfielder, age 20, 6 feet, 195. Drafted in the 3rd round, number 98th pick overall in the 2019 draft. I know you love you some Michael Harris. What do you got on this guy?
Yeah, so I mean, I really do like Michael Harris, and I really have to credit that to Ed Fingerhut. Last year, whenever we did the Braves system write-up, he actually ended up doing it. And I mean, just beat the drum left and right on Michael Harris. Really opened my eyes to him. This is a kid that came into the pros as potentially a two-way player from the pitching side as well as the hitting side. And, I mean, just absolutely hit the ground running in 2019 in his short sample size. And then, of course, going into the alt site during the COVID-shortened season. I was able to pull Michael Harris aside in Hickory, North Carolina, and kind of talk to him about his season that he was having because, he's really put together a very good season. He attributes a lot of the Braves' development during the COVID-shortened season to be able to work with, drawing deeper into counts. But he does want to stay true to what he has done to be able to get to this point as well. Very humble guy. On the year, slash 294, 362, and 436. There's definitely some room for a little bit more power there, but definitely a good stolen base threat, and that's something that he really prided himself on whenever I was talking to him. Michael Harris is a guy that I think can really, improve as he continues moving up. I think that he'll be able to get up to start the year in AA going into next year, and I think that this is going to be a guy that really holds down that Braves outfield for the long term. And obviously, another outfielder that we'll end up talking about here on the pod, the future is very bright for them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Harris is he's really ascended well throughout his time in their org. Clegg, what's your take on Harris? Is this a guy that you're super high on as well?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to see how the system's kind of shifted from Waters and Pache being like the high-end future guys to now seeing Harris move to the top. And I'm definitely on board with Harris being ranked over both those guys at this point now. And, I think Hawk hit it on the head with a lot of what he said. I think that really one of the biggest things we're waiting on is to see the game power come around. And that's certainly not out of the realm of possibility. You look at his frame, he's still just 20 years old. He can add some more bulk and strength. And I think with that, you'll see the home run power begin to come around. And, you know, I saw him back in 2019 a couple more times than I did this year, actually, when he was in Rome for a little bit, when Rome traveled to Greenville. Unfortunately, didn't get to see Rome this year as much as I wanted to. But he really progressed with his bat, just the bat-to-ball skills, I think, came around to the point where we expected it to be. You know, he hit for really solid average, good feel. And I think the biggest thing, too, he's a great runner, but it's the drive to steal bases, like you mentioned, and that's what he talked about. Stolen bases go way beyond just speed. It's being efficient, it's knowing how to run and knowing how to steal, and it's having that drive also. And we see it with guys like Julio Rodriguez, who may not be the best runner, but J-Rod has a drive to steal bases, and I think you're seeing that with Michael Harris as well. So he should be a threat on the base paths, which is, you know, phenomenal from that standpoint. He's very athletic. He should easily stick in center field. And I think that that could stick for a long time, honestly. He's got a plus arm as well. So I'm excited with how he's progressed. And I think he even has another level that we haven't seen yet, which I think warrants this ranking of him being at the top of the system, because I think there's another level, at least from the power standpoint, that we should continue to see him develop there. So that'll be exciting to watch for sure. And I think next year is going to be a huge telling year for him as he hits Double A and maybe even Triple A. So it'll be interesting to see the progression there with Michael Harris.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The only thing that disappoints me is that he's only 20. He's probably a couple of years away.
Right.
But man, if you can be the top of the list at that age, and you know, for context too, you know, number one on a list. Well, what does that translate to? He is absolutely a top 100 prospect on our prospect rankings, coming in right around 60, 70. And my guess is that throughout the year, he even may move up that list because he just had an outstanding 21 season. All right, moving on here. Particular pitcher in the Braves system is one Hawk I know that you are really high on, and probably a little higher on maybe than others. But what can you tell us about Bryce Elder? Right-handed pitcher, 22, 6'2", 220, drafted in the fifth round in that 2020 draft. Excellent draft. Why are you so high on Bryce Elder? Tell us a bit more about him.
So, yeah, I mean, one of the last key points on that Atlanta Braves podcast last year with the Irish Finger Hut was one that actually Hunter Rakes ended up turning me on to, and that was Bryce Elder. Last year, you know, coming out of Texas, really – thought that he could, you know, be a good back end type of starter long term, and you know, Hunter really kind of opened my eyes to that. So I kind of picked up the torch and just kept running with it. And you know, he impressed this year. You know, one of the only concern that I had with Bryce Elder with this season was the walks, and the walks happened really early whenever he was in low A. But you could see that he was working through it as he ended up ascending up the ladder this year. I mean, Bryce Elder, you know, came out here 137 and two-thirds innings pitched, 155 strikeouts. I mean, he was just striking out everybody, making them look silly. You know, kept the ball in the yard for a good portion. And like I said, the walks were the only thing that really kind of stood out. I love the fact that he's able to, you know, work counts. He's able to work with the batters and kind of keep them from putting that ball into play. And that's kind of a key thing with Bryce Elder. This is a guy that I think for the most part was really not on a lot of people's radars going into this year, and is a fantastic pop-up. And we'll see that with this Braves system, that there was quite a bit in terms of the pitching side that really kind of jumped out. Bryce Elder, to me, really leads the charge in the fact that he does come from, you know, a good school in terms of development for pitchers. Moving it now into the major leagues, you're seeing that he's been able to ascend all the way up to AAA. I think that, you know, if you're going to be making some off-season moves this year, Bryce Elder is definitely a guy that you need to target and see if you can be able to sneak that in without everybody knowing.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a household name by any means yet. I'd be interested to see if he becomes one. But, you know, you also pointed out in your write-up that he has a couple devastating breaking balls, which makes him a little bit unique. In this day and age, the power pitcher tends to get the love, especially on prospect lists. But Elder brings a little something different with a very effective slider and curveball. Clegg, what's your read on Elder? Is he a guy that you're also pretty excited about, or is the number two ranking surprising a little bit?
Yeah, the number two ranking is a surprise, but I like the aggressiveness because I think you're looking ahead and seeing what could be. And it's funny because in 2020, I was not really a fan of the Braves draft at all. I wasn't a fan of any pick they made other than Elder. I thought Elder was a decent value at the back end, but I didn't expect that we would see this. And I think it's also telling that what the Braves did with him this year. I mean, he went three levels from high A to triple A in his first pro season, which speaks a lot to how the organization views him as a whole. That says they're pretty confident in him. And yeah, I think the walk rates are a concern. But if you look back to Texas, I mean, he had better command control, and I think he has a chance to see those walk rates tick down a little bit, especially encouraging in double A. We saw that at a 7.8% rate. You can live in a 10% rate. I mean, Ian Anderson lives in that 10% rate, and it works. A lot of good starting pitchers in the major leagues live in that 10% rate. Obviously, AAA, 13.6% is a little high, but I'm not overly concerned about it because it was a small sample, and he still made it work. He still posted a 2.21 ERA and a 1.04 whip over 36 innings. The body of work as a whole was absolutely phenomenal, and I think you brought up a good point with the arsenal there. I mean, his fastball or slider and curveball, excuse me, are devastating strikeout pitches. Like, those are going to be his go-to strikeout pitches. His fastball is more of a sinker type, but has good velo on it. I think he does a good job of limiting hard contact with it, which is what you see with Max Fried, who's not a huge strikeout guy, but he limits hard contact with it, with his fastball, and that's what makes him successful. He's a workhorse-type starter, which I think helps his chance of being a successful major league starter significantly, because you're seeing less and less now over the years these guys be able to go deep into games and throw a lot of innings. That's exactly what Bryce Elder did this year. He pitched a ton of innings in his first pro season, super encouraging. And I think you're 100% right. I think he's a good target in a dynasty league because the name value at least is not there. Everybody's on Spencer Strider. That name got really big this year, but Bryce Elder had a phenomenal year and it's a phenomenal buy in my opinion. So I 100% agree with that take.
Yeah. Well, speaking of name recognition, number three on the list is a name that's been around a bit and has been at the top of Braves lists for quite a while. And, you know, to some may be a surprise coming in here at three, maybe not at two or even number one, but that's Drew Waters, outfielder, age 22, 6'2", 185. He was drafted in the second round in the 2017 draft, number 41 overall. Hawk Waters, tell me about Waters. He's been around. You've got him at three. Are you souring on Waters? Are you just more impressed by the guys ahead of him? What's your read on Drew Waters?
I think it's a mixture of both. There's no doubt that 2021 was kind of, you know, just a very, very disappointing year for Waters all around. We did see some gains that he was able to carry over out of the alt site in 2020 as a main focus the Braves wanted to work with him on was the walk rate. He was able to get that up to an 11%, which is fantastic. That's really what you want to see whenever you get somebody in AAA like he is getting close to the majors. The downside is the strikeout rate, you know, just stayed high. And that's what's really kind of hurting him quite a bit. We saw that the power's not quite getting to where we're expecting it to be. You know, only hitting 11 bombs this year in 103 games. The average, you know, took quite a tumble down into the wrong direction. But you still see that he does have the wheels to steal bases and the desire to do so. And he's going to have to rely on his defense. The only issue that I see with that from a fantasy perspective, you know, number one, you know, you want to make sure that he can get that average up. He needs to hit for average. We have Christian Pache that is, you know, now in the major leagues and he's not hitting and he's not really stealing bases at all to this point. So you don't want to see that happen with Drew Waters because the talent is there. We just need to start seeing him get into some of his power, start being a little bit more selective at the plate, not being as much in terms of the passive. And that's why he's at three and not higher. I think that there's some, you know, good upside and good target abilities with the first two that we were talking about a little bit more than what I'm seeing in Drew Waters. And I'm worried that if he cannot do that, he'll probably fall to a fourth outfielder. profile, which I hate to say because I really did like Waters.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and it, you know, he's been in the system long enough. He's of the age that he should be getting close to breaking the majors. And, Chris, I guess I'd like your thoughts on Waters as well, but also couple that with all the activity that the Braves made at the deadline, bringing all these bats. It's a little bit too early or premature to see who are they going to retain. But do you foresee we'll see Waters up in the majors this next year, or do you think they're going to stick with some of these, you know, Rosario, Peterson, who else did they bring in? They've got Acuna coming back. They've got Pache. What's your read in, as it relates to that?
It'll certainly be interesting because I don't think there's a clear fit right now. As you look at it, I assume they probably bring back two of the four that they brought in midseason with Jock, Soler, Rosario, and forget
Duval.
Yeah, I think they bring back two of those. So I don't know. I don't think they bring Waters up to sit on the bench. That would be counterintuitive for his development. Honestly, right. I think he's a prime trade candidate, which I think that there's a better fit for him outside of Atlanta, which I hate because when they drafted him, was very high on him. I thought the skill set was there. But we haven't really seen that come to fruition. But he would fit great with a team like Cleveland, who doesn't really have, you know, these outfielders that are ready to go. And he could slot right in, I think, at the major league level there. The Braves were aggressive with Waters. I mean, he made it AAA at 20 years old, which, again, was pretty telling. And he was pretty successful. His 2019 season was highly successful. And I'm almost willing to give him a pass on 2021. You saw a variety of things with prospects this year. And I think the underrated aspect of what we don't talk about much is the 2020 season. Some guys benefited a lot from it. I've talked to players, and they said that the 2020 year was very beneficial for them, like the alt site, instruct type things. And other guys, it wasn't. Not playing games really hurt their development. And I haven't seen that from Drew Waters or heard that from him, but I'd be interested to know his opinion on that and how it affected this season. And Waters went through moments this year where he was very hot at the plate, and we saw flashes of what he could be, but it just wasn't consistent. We saw his ground ball rate skyrocket, which I think affected his overall performance. I mean, 57% on the ground, he's not going to hit for average or power with that. There's no way. Also, we saw the fly ball rate go down, the line drive rate down significantly, which affects batting average. So those things really matter, and I wonder how much of it was a mental struggle this year of just getting back into games. And I don't know, that'd be something to definitely try to talk to him about or see if there's something out there on that. But again, I don't know, I don't see a clear spot for him in Atlanta at least this season. So I'll be curious if he's part of a trade. Like, this feels like the time when the Braves trade for a high end. So I'll be curious to see what they do this offseason, but it seems like Waters could easily fit a package like that and go somewhere where he could slot in sooner. I mean, this is his second season in AAA, and you think he made it in 2019, so he would have made the AAA in 2020 and then should have easily been up to the majors at this point. Even though he is young, it's still like this will be going on 4 years in AAA, which I think is kind of detrimental to some mental aspect of that. So, yeah, I'll be curious what happens, but I could easily see him on the move this offseason.
Yeah, that's a good call. You guys really, both of you brought up a really interesting reader perspective on Waters. Hawk, you brought up just how maybe they rushed Pache a little bit. Part of that was the Acuna injury, but he clearly just wasn't ready for that step. And interesting, it was him over Waters, but, you know, you're right, Clegg, in that they probably don't want to make that same mistake twice by bringing Waters up. And the trade take is a good one, too. I think you're absolutely right. Being up in AAA that long in the same system, not getting your turn, he would probably benefit from a new team, a new organization, and at the same time, the Braves could certainly load up and utilize the capital he's built up to help themselves somewhere else, whether it's pitching or who knows where. But so Waters is a guy we still like. You know, he's maybe trending in the wrong direction a little bit, but still he can correct that course. All right, moving on to number four on your list, Hawk, is a pitcher, Mr. Jared Schuster. He's a lefty, age 23, 6'3", 210, drafted in the first round in the 2020 draft, number 25 overall. What's your read on Schuster? He's a couple slots here behind Elder, but also a really, really good, strong pitcher in the system. So what do you like most about Schuster?
So I like a lot about Schuster in the fact that he's a very like high floor type of pitcher. I got a lot of looks while he was at Wake Forest, kind of developing here before he was drafted in 2020. This is a guy that really you know, he can have a borderline plus fastball, but really he likes to pinpoint where he throws the ball. This is something that I think a lot of scouts in some ways have kind of been a little bit off on in terms of his control. I just think that he gets very, very selective on where he wants to put the ball. Whenever I saw him in Hickory, he was dotting the corners. He was trying to be very, very fine. And it was amazing to be able to see him whenever he did get, you know, the fastball over, you know, or the slider, you know, ducking out of the zone. You know, whenever he got it on point, it was swing and miss stuff, which is why we're able to see that K rate still with Schuster without pumping in high velocity. I think in that start, he only stuck around 92, 93. He's been known to get up to 95, but it seems like he only reaches back and gets that whenever he wants it. That changeup, whenever it tumbles out of the zone, I mean, it just makes people look silly whenever they're swinging over it. You guys will notice with the write-up that we have, I put on there the bullpen session before the game as well. Warm-up tosses and strikeouts that were in that game in Hickory. Schuster, to me, you know, coming from that left-handed, you know, spot there, is a guy that can really bolster the back end of that Braves rotation. I think can be very similar to a Mike Soroka type. And to me, that seems valuable in deeper dynasty leagues in which that you want to have that safety. That's why I really like Schuster. I have him there, you know, above a couple of these other names that we're going to have that I think might have higher upside. But I think right now this is a good safe buy if you're doing so.
I like it. Clegg, what's your read on Schuster? Is he appropriately placed on this list in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, he's a little high, but I'm not concerned with that. I think that's a fair placement. I'm a little lower on him in general. Just, I think there could be some bullpen risk, but I don't know. I do love everything you said about him. I think that he does a lot of things well, especially I think the command is improved. And I do think the velo could tick up a little bit. I've seen him top at 97, so I'd be interested to see how he could progress from sitting the 90-92 range to getting up to, you know, maybe sitting 94-95. I think that would be a big deal for him. So I think the fastball is a good pitch. I think he commands it well. The changeup, obviously, is probably his bread and butter there, and then there's a slider that I think's developing. So I think the command did improve, honestly, and that's something that is encouraging to me. I would say overall he had a solid year, even though, you know, when we saw him go up to double A, he struggled a little bit. But again, it was a small sample, and so I'm not overly concerned about that. Again, he was coming off a year where he pitched 26 innings at Wake Forest before the shutdown in 2020 and didn't pitch in game action again until last year in Rome. And, you know, he was really good in Rome, so I thought that was encouraging. The strikeout numbers were honestly better than I expected. And we even saw that stick some in double A, so encouraging. Doesn't walk a ton. And I think you're right. I think he's a high floor type guy. And I think that does play. It has his place for sure in a dynasty league. And I think the Soroka mold kind of fits, even Soroka with more strikeout upside. So it'll be fun to watch him develop as well. I think that's what they've done well over the years, is just develop these type of arms. So I'm curious to see his progression through the next couple of years. He's already 23, so it'll be interesting to see where he is this time next year.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you are just one of those systems that seem to know, they seem to be ahead of the curve as it relates to other organizations in terms of grooming pitchers. So it's another good system. Moving on to Hawks' fifth pick. And actually, Clegg, I'm going to actually kick this one to you to start off, because I know this is a pitcher you like. That is number five, Strider. He's a right-handed pitcher, age 22, 6 feet, 195 pounds, drafted in the fourth round of the 2020 draft. Now, I know you and I have talked a little bit about Strider. He's a guy you know quite a bit about and like. What can you tell me about Spencer Strider?
Yeah, and so fortunately, he's from this area. He was at Clemson prior to being drafted, which I live 15 minutes from Clemson, so I'm able to see him. I honestly can't say that I expected him to develop into what we saw this year. Highly impressive. I thought it, again, like Elder, it was a decent pick in that fourth round of the 2020 draft, but I didn't really see the upside there with what we saw this year and even him making it to the majors. I mean, this guy started in low A, went low A, high A, double A, triple A, and even debuted in the major leagues. I don't know if we've ever seen someone make it through every level like that and hit the major leagues. I love Spencer Strider. I think he's my top arm in this system. And I do have arguments. I think there's good arguments for Elder, Schuster. There's others we could talk about. But Strider, in my opinion, was a guy that many thought was probably a flash in the pan to begin the year and just absolutely took off. What I love most about him is probably his fastball and how he locates it. He just locates it so well up in the zone. And when you're gassing it 96 to 99 up in the zone, it's really hard for hitters to get to. And that's what we've seen him do. And to see a strikeout ability, a lot of that came from that fastball and just being able to put it up there in the zone. And guys couldn't catch up to it. And I do think that there's probably going to be some bumps along the way. We saw that a little bit in AA to an extent. But even still, he had an incredible season. The strikeout rate was very, very high. The walk rate, a little high, but not overly concerning because, like I said, I think guys can live in this range of 9 to 10%. That's not a super high range. And, you know, people started really coming on to him when he made it to Rome from low A to high A there, and he just kept dominating. And even into AA, I think there's some things that, you know, while he had a 4.71 ERA, he had a 3.32 FIP. You know, he had a very high BABIP there and a low strand rate, which I think signifies a little bit of, you know, positive regression that would come. And overall, I just really love Strider's arsenal. I think the development of the changeup will probably be really big for him sticking as a starter long term, but I love the fastball and curveball. I think those really play up, and even a slider, we saw some this year. So if he develops a changeup, I think it really helps his chances to stick as a starter. But even if he goes to the pen, I think this is a super high leverage arm that could be extremely valuable in dynasty leagues and things like we don't really value. Like, a lot people don't value this type of player in dynasty that has some relief risk, but he could be extremely good out of the pen. So either way he goes, I think there's upside for him, and an arm that I think could easily be the best in the system when all said and done, when we see the development. Because this is, again, I didn't see any of this coming when he was at Clemson, and now to see what he's done, you have to also mention that he had Tommy John at Clemson, so he missed some time. So, I mean, he came back in 2020 and pitched 12 innings, and he hadn't pitched since 2018. So to see what he did this year after pitching 12 innings since 2018, I think that speaks a lot of volume.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, that when someone has Tommy John, everybody just handles it a little bit different. Some come back and they're sharp right away. Others, it takes them a year and a half to kind of get it right. But Strider's one who just kind of left that in the dust and came out firing this year. Hawk, so you have him at – he is in your number five. So clearly you like the pitcher. You know, you did put Elder and you did put just a bit ahead of him, but splitting hairs at this point. You must like Strider as well. What's your read on him? Do you think he has a chance to stay in the majors this early at just 22?
I do like him a lot. I know Ed was banging the drum left and right with it, but you know, the only reason why I have him at five and not higher is exactly like what Chris said. There is a slight reliever risk here. We got to see those secondary pitches tick up. The curveball has improved quite a bit. It was good to be able to see some of the slider this year. And you're right. I think that the changeup kind of needs to develop a little bit more in order to stick as a starter. And that's really kind of where this is kind of baked in. Whenever I did this write-up, I was doing it near the end of the season. So obviously I missed the one inning pitched in AAA, and then he gets promoted to the major leagues, of course, which is fun for two innings. I think that he'll probably end up starting at the year in AAA probably next year. I don't really see, unless they really want to, you know, just have him in the rotation there, I don't see a reason to have him there at the beginning of the year. And this also, you know, goes with the collective bargaining agreement, you know, for this offseason, of course, right? Yeah. But I think realistically speaking, he could probably stand to have just a little bit more time at AAA, but I think that he's going to probably be up the majority of the year next year. And, you know, at the time whenever I was writing this, you know, between high A and double A, I mean, he had over a 14% strikeout rate. I mean, that's just – that's filthy. I'm sorry. There's nothing you can say, but that's just absolutely filthy. And You know, I think Strider is going to be a very interesting piece here in the Braves organization, whether it is as a starter or a reliever. I still think that this is something that you do target in your dynasty leagues, because either way, we play, Ryan, you and I, we play in a lot of 30-man leagues. So we play those deep dynasty leagues. This is, you know, this is a great buy to be able to have. And even in a 12 team, you know, I see this, you know, very well here. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with Strider.
Yeah, well, in these very deep leagues, a guy like, well, or really any of these guys, Elder, Schuster, or Strider, do have a ton of value because there's just so many prospects at play. But, again, I think you'd be thrilled to have any or all of these three pitchers. And I don't think you need to apologize for putting him at number five. That's a heck of a good placement on a very good organization. Moving along here to the number six prospect, Mr. Jesse Franklin. He is an outfielder, age 22, 6'1", 215, drafted in the third round in that 2020 draft, number 97 overall. You were able to get quite a few eyes on Franklin. Tell us a little bit more about Jesse Franklin.
Oh, my gosh. The find of the century whenever I went to Hickory. I was watching that game, and between between Franklin and Dustin Harris, it was like a hitting clinic. And it was amazing because I really went there to go see Josh Smith and Foscue and all those guys. And here I go walking away with two bombs from Jesse Franklin, a double. And, man, those guys in Hickory, shout out to those fans that are out there. They love, like, jarring and jeering all these guys. And Jesse Franklin was just loving it, man. He was going right back at it with them, and it was just so much fun to see. But anyway, yeah, Jesse Franklin, I really wanted to, you know, highlight him on this list because I think that, you know, his time in Michigan, he was, you know, a very, very good hitter, a good discipline hitter, sold out for power a little bit towards the end, and then unfortunately came down with a collarbone injury that ended up actually causing him to drop significantly in the drafts. And I believe that the Braves got an absolute steal in the third round of the 2020 draft. Realistically speaking, I think if Franklin would have stayed healthy, showed the power that he was showing in Michigan, he probably would have been a first-round draft pick. I really believe that. And, you know, being able to snag that in the third was a clutch call for the Braves. And he immediately, you know, kind of rewarded them on, you know, their trust. Yeah, the average and the OBP are a little bit on the lower side, but you can see that he is clearly selling out right now for power. And I hope, and this was kind of why I put him in here, I'm hoping that he'll be able to work with the Braves system on more contact ability, something that he was really big on whenever he was at Michigan. You know, for the year, he played 101 games, all at high A, Rome, 24 home runs, 19 stolen bases. And it's amazing to see because this is a very big kid. Like, height-wise, probably not as much, but he is built. Like muscular built, and seeing him be able to just take off on the base paths is amazing. The power is legit. I really think that this could be one of those guys that you put over in right field with the Braves later on, or if he moves on to a different organization, this is a guy that could really carry for a long time. You just saw Duvall here with the Braves. I mean, to me, this looks a lot like Duvall, but with more speed. That's kind of where I was going at with that. So, yeah, Jesse Franklin, like I said, we got those videos, two home runs and the double on the right up there. So you guys can take a look for yourself. And Jesse Franklin actually reached out to me on Instagram and was like, hey, can I get those videos?
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. Yeah, no, that was a mammoth shot. One of those home runs on your videos, too. I do remember watching that one when you posted it a couple months back, but Clegg, what about you, man? Franklin's a name that you're excited about, too, I understand.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, I got to see him several games out in the Fall League as well. And while he struggled in the AFL, like, I'm not overly concerned. I don't put a ton of stock into, you know, player performance there because guys are working on things. And, yeah, I think that you go back to what the Hawks said about the contact. I mean, at Michigan, he had just a 17% strikeout rate. The contact numbers were significantly better than we saw this year. So I do think that he was selling out a little for power. His swing is really aggressive. He goes after the ball. So I think that with some fine tuning, he can settle back in. He doesn't need to be aggressive. I think the power is going to come naturally for him, and he's going to even add more power. Like, being in a pro organization, he's going to really add more strength, and the power is just going to be natural. So I think if he goes back to really just focusing on a contact-oriented approach, he's still going to hit plenty of home runs. So he doesn't need to try to sell out to be a 30-plus home run guy. It's going to come in time, and I think the contact skills will also play up there. So, yeah, I'm a little concerned with the strikeout rate and even how that's continued into the fall league. But, again, a full offseason of work on that. We'll probably see him in Double-A next year. I think he'll be okay, and I think the skill set is very impressive here. He moves really well for the size. And even if he's just a slightly below-average hitter, I do think the power will really play up. And even if he hits 250, 260, it's going to play. And I think that this is definitely a big league bat that I'm highly excited about as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It's exciting to see, you know, kind of these pop-up names. I feel like the Braves have a few of them in the system, and Franklin might be one of them. Speaking of pop-up names, the next one is, I've got to be honest, a name I wasn't even familiar with before I saw your write-up, so I'm excited to hear a little bit more about Joey Estes. He is a right-handed, 18 years old, 6'2", 190, drafted in the 16th round in the 19 draft, number 487 overall. Big year for Joey Estes. Hawk, tell me a little bit more about him.
Yeah, so, I mean, we talked about a lot of guys that have really, you know, popped up that weren't, you know, really on the radar for the most part last year whenever we did this. Joey Estes was not even in the same hemisphere whenever we did that write-up last year. So to be able to see him, he's probably one of the biggest pop-ups on this list. You know, being drafted in the 16th round, I mean, they don't do a whole lot of coverage going that deep. I know, Chris, you probably watch, you know, the MLB draft just about as much as I do. Whenever they get to that, you might get a blurb or two out of Mayo and, you know, all those guys. But, you know, we didn't hear a whole lot. And Joey Estes really went out this year, you know, with a full slate to be able to, you know, go and pitch. He came, you know, out of the 19 draft as a high school talent. And the numbers were, you know, so-so, eight plus ERA, only 10 innings pitched in 19. Comes out this year, he ends up going 20 starts, all in low A, Augusta, because you got to remember, I mean, he's only 20 years old right now, which is crazy to think. But 99 innings pitched, 127 strikeouts. You know, he kept the ball in the ballpark, you know, was selective with his pitches, you know, and kept these batters to a low batting average against, which I think is fantastic whenever you're a young pitcher. And something that I mentioned with Josh Wolf last night, you know, a lot of these pitchers have a little bit higher ERAs, but, and Chris, you might be able to add in on this as well, the talent in Major League Baseball with this new restructure this year was really in that low A, high A, and double A range, not to put anybody down in triple A, but that's really where it seemed like the talent was this year. And, you know, being able to see him work with his fastball is definitely the dominant pitch that he has here, brought up his control a little bit more. That changeup, just like we've said countless times for high school pitchers, lags behind. It'll take time to be able to develop, but the Braves are a good system to be able to work on that. Does feature a slider as well. So Joey Estes, great pop-up name. I think that this is a good opportunity that you can get him put into a throw-in into a lot of these trades over the offseason if you're in a deeper dynasty league.
Yeah, it's a good call. Clegg, anything to add on Estes?
Not a whole lot. I think you hit it pretty well. I think that his development story is huge after being a 16th round pick. 487 overall, kind of crazy to see. And just kind of out of nowhere to throw 99 innings as dominant as he did this year was really fun to watch. He does a lot of things well. Swinging strike rate was insanely high that supported a 30-plus percent K rate. I mean, 32.1 for the year. Yeah, he did it all in low A, but it's just a reminder, he just turned 20 after the season was over.
That's so right.
He's 19 years old. That's important to realize, and you're 100% right. The talent level was down there. Because of the off season last year, I mean, a lot of these high-profile international guys were in low A, and there's a lot of good talent in this league, and he still pitched well. He may have been the best pitcher in this low A league that he was at. So I'm highly impressed. Again, I don't think it's a fluke at all what we saw. So it'll be fun to see how all of it comes together. And the crazy thing is, he even had a pretty low strand rate at 66%. You know, the league average is like 72, 73 there. So he may be able to stick at this high-profile pitcher. But, yeah, I think you're right. The changeup will take him a long way. Love to see that continue to develop, but 100% love what I saw out of him this year.
Yeah. Yeah, he's so young, man. He could grow into so much more, so it'd be fun to watch that development. Next up on the list is our number 8 prospect in the Hawks Atlanta Braves write-up, and that is another pitcher, Ryan Cusick. Now, Cusick is a right-handed pitcher, 21, 6'6", 235 pounds, big boy. He was the first-round pick in this 2021 draft, 24 overall. Hawk, what do you like about Cusick?
So Cusick is one of those guys that I was just enamored with whenever I would watch him over at Wake Forest. He is Massachusetts born and came down to Wake Forest in general, and we saw this or heard this with Schuster earlier, is really starting to be a pitching factory in terms of like their pitching development, how they're going about it. They got several guys in this upcoming draft class, you know, of some reliever risk, but, you know, really good, you know, arm factory for this team. Was able to see him in Wake Forest, very, very dominant. That fastball is definitely his bread and butter pitch. He just overpowers that, you know, at any chance he could possibly have. Good secondary pitches in terms of a curveball and slider. The changeup is okay, but that's really going to be kind of the telltale sign here because, you know, with that massive fastball, he does have a profile that could go to a reliever if that changeup doesn't, you know, continue to either stay at or get better as he develops here. But at 6'6", you know, 235, he is a massive individual. And whenever he's on that mound, he is a bulldog, man. You watch him, he is just completely out to get you. And it shows, you know, low A, you know, he was able to go out there for 16 and a third innings, and he struck out 34 batters. Just dominance in that regard. Like I said, he can get hit in terms of getting the ball on the ground, but for the most part, kept the ball in the yard, walks to a relative minimum. That'll be what really carries Cusick as he goes on. I think that there's a starter here, and if so, I mean, this could be fun to watch with the Braves.
Yeah. Well, in your write-up, you said he has the front of the rotation mentality and the front of the rotation ability if he can keep it rolling. So it'd be fun to watch. Just keeping an eye on the clock, I want to keep this moving. Let's move to number 9, Shea Langeliers. He's a catcher, age 23. Clegg, I'm going to start with you on Langeliers. I know you've done some extensive work around him. Langeliers is 23, 6 feet, 205 pounds, drafted in the 19 draft, leaving that year. He was the 9th overall pick. Clegg, what do you think about Langeliers? Does this feel about right for you? Number 9 on the list, a little low, a little high. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he certainly has room to move up too. And you know, he was drafted as a glove first arm type, and he may have the best arm of any minor league catcher. His pop time is absolutely insane, like 70 grade numbers, that good. So he's going to throw out a ton of runners, and we saw this year with the Braves and Darno. I mean, Travis Darno can't throw anybody out. They were stealing on him left and right. So this is exactly the future of the Braves catching. And we saw the bat come around this year, which was beautiful. And I think one of the things that kind of goes under the radar was the fact that we didn't see a lot of things develop in the 2020 season because there was no 2020 seasons. So we didn't see things like what Shea Langeliers was working on during his off time. And we saw the bat really come around. He added a ton of power this year, hit 22 home runs, which nobody expected. And he did that over just 370 plate appearances, which I think is pretty impressive to see that kind of power out of him, which, you know, I can't say that I did expect at all. And actually, where he played at Double A Mississippi is the worst Double A park for home run factors by far, like 9th percentile from a park factor standpoint, from runs, a 2nd percentile factor standpoint. The BABIP there was 15th percentile for this year. So those things really matter too, and I think are kind of underrated. That the fact that he still had that great of a season and showed that kind of power. The exit velocities were really good. The contact rates were good. I absolutely love everything about him. And I think for fantasy purposes, obviously we don't factor in the glove or the arm, but I think his bat is really underrated. I think people still prefer William Contreras to him from a bat perspective, but I think Langoliers is going to be a really solid catcher for the Braves in the future. Yeah, he's going to be 24 actually this week, so happy early birthday, Shea Langoliers. He'll be 24 years old. Important to remember, he's out of college, so again, lost season. He'll start the year at AAA next year. I know the Braves have Darno locked up for at least another year with an option for 2023 as well, but I think that's a great bridge for him. I think it makes total sense with what they're doing because, yeah, I don't think Langoliers is completely ready to take the reins next year, but he'll start in AAA. You could see him pop up and get some reps by midseason and playing, you know, sharing a little bit of time with Darno, and he could be ready to take over in Atlanta in 2023. I think the bat's really good. The glove we know is really good. The arm is absolutely impressive. So he's pretty well-rounded. I think he's highly underrated. So I absolutely love Shea Langoliers.
I can tell. You know, it was a bit of a head-scratcher to me last year. I was really surprised you brought him up in your review there, Contreras. I was surprised to see him come up before Langoliers. Do you think that was more of just they were looking for a little more offense? Or, you know, where does – not that we're talking about Contreras, but they've already got Darno, they've got Langoliers. Or where does that leave William Contreras? Is he likely to be traded? Do you think they split duties in a couple of years? Because they happen to have two pretty good catching prospects in the system. Whoever wants to field that question, I know I'm coming out of left field here, but it just struck me as odd that they had two really solid catchers available, and they definitely, it seemed to at least last year, prefer Contreras when Darno went down.
Yeah, that was interesting. Interesting to see him debut last year, honestly, but that's where they were depth-wise at least, so kind of had to do
right.
It. But yeah, I think he was a good gap for the time being. It'll be interesting too. I think I could see them both being on the roster, you know, once Darno's gone, because they're both very solid catchers. So I don't know. I think Langoliers is the catcher of the future. Maybe Contreras comes up in a trade. Who knows? But I do think they view Langoliers that way in the organization as the guy they want moving forward for the future.
Waters, yeah. And Contreras. That'd Let's do a trade now.
Yeah, package them together. That'd fetch a nice haul.
If you did that in Pache, oh my gosh, could you imagine the return you can get in fantasy?
Hawk, you got anything else you want to add on Langoliers?
No, I think Clegg really kind of put it in there. Obviously, you know, Ed's not a big catcher guy to begin with. I love the defense, no doubt. That's a gold glove defender for years to come in Langoliers. And I love the uptick of the bat. You can see that being higher in a lot of other lists, no doubt. You know, from the fantasy aspect of it, you know, the OBP still has a little ways to go. It's not terrible. But, you know, it's hard whenever you're dealing with catchers. And I know we just finished doing the Baltimore Orioles pod. You know, it's hard whenever you're comparing catchers to like Adley or JT Realmuto in the majors. So it's just tricky.
Yeah, there's few and far between that can add the offensive component to their game. All right, so let's move on then to your number 10 prospect in the Atlanta Braves system. He is a shortstop, age 23, 6'4", 190 pounds, drafted in the 2019 draft, first rounder, number 21 overall. Tell me a little bit more about Braden Shoemaker, Hawk.
He is clinging to the top 10 by his fingernails. it was a bad season. I mean, I'm not going to front on that. It was a bad season. He was higher in our write-ups last year from what we were able to see whenever he was at college at Texas A&M. You know, this guy was a guy that was a very solid contributor, a very hard out. He struck out under 10% whenever he was at Texas A&M. You know, whenever he was taken by the Braves, this is a guy that we really thought, you know, would be able to be that everyday guy, a super utility or an everyday second baseman, you know, obviously – Ozzie Albies takes the medal there. Going into this year, I think that he was, like Clegg said, I think that he was hurt by that 2020 loss season. I really think that the lack of reps was not beneficial towards him at all, and clearly we saw that going into this year. You know, he ended up going down in almost everything. His walk percentage went down to like a 5%, you know, walk percentage whenever it was a lot higher before. So with with Braden Shoemake, I really think that, you know, this might just be one of those opportunities that you can get him for, like, dirt cheap, because, I'm sorry, there's nothing good about a 228 average and a 271 OBP, no matter how you kind of shake that out. We saw a little bit of power gains in terms of 12 home runs in 83 games at AA, but, you know, if he can get back to that solid, you know, contact ability that he had while he was in college, and now that he's starting to get more reps, I think that this could be a guy that you can put in there at the back end, and that's why I ended up having him in there. Like I said, it's really just a kind of, you know, hold on last second type of deal. There's some guys here that aren't far off of number 10 that could easily slot into this spot, no doubt.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that part up, because we do often like to end the pod by highlighting a player or two that just didn't quite make the top 10 but are primed to in the year ahead. Clegg, I wanted to plant that seed in case there's a player or two that you wanted to highlight. Don't have to. But before we go there, anything you would like to add as it relates to Braden Shoemake?
Not really. I'm not a big fan of Shoemake. I think the regression has been interesting to see. I don't really know what to expect for him moving forward, but I think there's some younger high-profile guys here in the system that have that argument that could easily overtake him. So, yeah, I don't know. From a fantasy standpoint, I don't think he brings much to the table. So I'm kind of out on him, which kind of stinks. You know, that's a first-round pick, and looking at that draft of the guys that were drafted after him, there's so much talent that went right after him with Greg Jones, Michael Tolia, Daniel Espino, Cody Hosey, Blake Walston, all the picks after. It's like, really? The Braves took Braden Shoemake there? So, yeah, that's tough. It's tough to look at, but I hope maybe it was something mental that he rebounds. I really do hope he gets back on track. He was a solid player at A&M, and he was one of the best freshmen in the country in 2017. Like, that's how, as a freshman in the SEC at the highest level of college baseball,
yeah,
he was incredible. So, I don't know. I kind of hang on to that, but then I look and, like, that was 2017.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
It's hard to fight those numbers.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. Well, so I'm going to recap the 10, and then if either one of you guys or both want to share a player for next year's list, or just a player you're excited about that didn't quite crack the top 10. My guess is they made it in 11 through 30, though, but you have an opportunity to do that. So recapping the Atlanta Braves top 10 as put together by the host of the show, the Hawk, Richard Hake. Number one was Michael Harris. Number two, Bryce Elder. Number three, Drew Waters. Number four, Jared Schuster. Number five, Spencer Strider. Number six, Jesse Franklin. Number seven, Joey Estes. Number eight, Ryan Cusick. Number nine, Shea Langeliers. And number 10, by the skin of his teeth, Braden Shoemake. Hawk or Clegg, who would like to go? Let Clegg go first. Do you have a player or two that you think should have made the top 10 or surely will make the top 10 next year?
And I don't know if this guy, I'm going to go a little bit deeper. I'm not sure if he'll crack the top 10 next year, but it's a guy that I certainly think will be a nice little riser, and that's Luke Waddell, who I think kind of flies under the radar to an extent. And I saw him in Arizona. He was really good at Georgia Tech and flew under the radar. And we know he was a fifth rounder this year in the draft, so not getting a lot of love, but the dude's got a great bat. He's small. Like, he's a smaller guy. Like, he's like an Ozzie Albies type build. But I think there's a little more power there than people expect or that we've seen so far. This year, we did see it at Georgia Tech. I mean, he hit 8 home runs, hit .309. He was a career .308 hitter at Georgia Tech. Again, the ACC is a pretty high level of college ball, and he performed. I think he flew completely under the radar there. And this year, even, we saw him in Rome, and he was really good, hit .304. And a small sample of 78 plate appearances, but even still, he showed good on-base skills and the power. I mean, he had a .580 slug, 6 home runs. Certainly good to see out of him. And you watch him, he's got a great swing as well. I think that's a factor. He can play all over the infield at second, short, or third. All these things are a big deal for him, in my opinion, and I think we're going to see him moving up list next year. And he's a guy that I'm certainly a fan of that's a little bit deeper name, but I think that he could make a rise. He's already in my top 400 overall for fantasy prospects because I do think the bat-to-ball skills are that good. I think the power is going to come around, and certainly a guy that I like a lot to make a big rise next year.
Yeah, Luke Waddell, another shortstop. Did you have anyone else you wanted to highlight, Clegg? If not, we will let the Hawk have a run at it.
You can let the Hawk have this one for sure. Let's see who he's got.
All right.
So, yeah, from my riser that's on here, it would have been my number 10 if I didn't have Shoemake there. Definitely Vaughn Grisham. Put together a fantastic season. He did, you know, in the previous season that he was here in 2019. But for this year, 319 average, 418 OBP, 464 slug. Definitely a lot to like there. There's a little bit of power. There's a little bit of speed from that shortstop position. You know, this is a guy that I think could really make that move into the top 10 relatively easy. So I'm excited to be able to see Vaughn Grisham a little bit more this upcoming season and get a little bit better perspective. I love what you were saying, Chris, on the Waddell pick there. I saw him whenever he was at Georgia Tech versus Wake Forest, and I was impressed there. And then I saw him again whenever he was in Hickory. So I was like, wow, I love that. I love that pick. That's great.
Yeah, both of you guys happen to highlight shortstops. Grissom is a 20-year-old and Waddell is 23. So both of them may just occupy that spot for a long, long time in the Braves system. Gentlemen, anybody else you want to highlight, or should we call this a write-up?
I think it's in the books.
It's in the books. The Atlanta Braves, ladies and gentlemen. Guys, thank you so much for hopping on. Hawk, great job on the list. It was great to have Chris Clegg on. Again, he is a co-host of the Fantrax Toolshed. You can follow his work if you are in any leagues. Not too hard to find. Thank you so much for being on the show, Chris. Any parting thoughts for the weekly streamer crew here?
Just a big thank you for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation. A lot of good talk, and hopefully the listeners get some good info out of it.
Yeah, fun to have a Braves fan on, too. You can follow Clegg on Twitter at RotoClegg. Hawk, this is your show. Like I did, I'm going to let you shut it down. But before I do, you can follow The Hawk on Twitter at MustBeTheHawk. Again, for our listeners, please check out our new Patreon page. That's where you can find the full write-up, the list, 11 through 30 as well, the videos, everything we referenced. Again, find us on Patreon by searching Weekly Streamer. Hawk, shut us down, my friend.
Well, with that, with everybody here at the week, I want to make sure that you guys end up having yourselves a great baseball week.